Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today. I have a cool story I want to share with all of you guys. It has to do with all of you here. I don't know if it's been shared or not, but I'm going to share it because it happened to me. So I think it's cool when the horse's mouth says it. So a few weeks ago, I went to a special needs event where they did this really cool respite event for parents of special needs. I'm sure everyone here knows. My oldest son, Jonah, is currently in a pretty... in a journey with some different diagnoses. So I went there, and I am not an extrovert at all. I'm very introverted, but when I get one-on-one with people, I love to do that. So I was there, and I don't normally initiate talking. I should, but I don't. But I saw this older lady there, and just noticed her, and she wasn't with anyone else, and they had this amazing spread of meat and cheese and fruit. And I was like, wow, that's really good. So I just walked up and I just started talking to her. And then we naturally just sat down at a table. And I just wanted to let her talk and hear what she had to say. And she started talking to me about a few weeks ago and she was a parent of a special needs son, how she had a fire recently in Satterton. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the lady that our church sent a check to, and I'm sitting right next to her. I never thought that I would ever know who this lady is, and she's just telling me about it, and then I don't say anything, and then she says, and the most amazing thing happened, and I was like, what's that? She's like, I got a check in the mail from this church that I never heard of called The Well. I'm like, really? And she said, she told me the whole letter. So she didn't just tell me about it, she told me the whole letter. And she said, this nice lady, I think she said Tiffany, if someone else wrote it, I followed, it was a Tiffany, okay. This nice lady named Tiffany, and then she began to tell me that she started telling a lot of people. Her sister lives in one of these houses right across from us. And she's like, we were trying to find where this well is, and we couldn't find it. And we're all dealing with the signage. But guys, I did the artwork for the sign that's going to go up there. So I think you guys are going to talk about, I did two versions, so you guys can, you know, see which one you like better. Anyway, so there will be a sign up there. But she started telling me this stuff, and I'm like, you know, that was our church. She's like, what? She's like, and I'm sitting with you? And I'm like, I know, I think that was the Lord that brought us together. Then she began to tell everybody there. She pulled in, and this is a bigger church that has funds, right? She began telling all the leaders, and I'm like, oh my gosh. So this affected her and changed her life. And I don't know what the amount was, I don't need to know, but whatever amount it was, it impacted her. And it's so cool to me how... it's a cool way to learn how God speaks to us, because there's a lot of different ways that God speaks to us. Like, sometimes it'll be through another person, but what happened there is God highlighted her to me. But what was crazy is it didn't seem like, it wasn't the Lord said, Kathy, go sit next to her. But the Lord does that. And we think things are happenstance, and we're just, you know, our attention goes here or there, but it's the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it's so subtle, and I'm like, what if I didn't do that? But don't worry about that. It's like the Lord speaks to us that way, where he highlights someone to you, and it can be so subtle. And for me, it was subtle. I was like, I'm going to talk to her. And it was clearly the Lord speaking. So that's a cool way to encourage all of us, and to also learn that God speaks that way. He highlights people to us. So the next time you notice someone, it could be something there, because it clearly was. All right. On to the announcements. I'm supposed to greet you guys. Good morning. All right. So he even wrote a bottom of, on here for me. My husband's amazing. My husband is Matt, if you guys don't know, the pastor here. So he said, great job, babe. I love you a lot. Thanks for doing this. Isn't that sweet? Anyways. Okay. Okay, so the Hopewell Network of Churches. This is so cool. On August 1st, we officially started a one-year engagement period to become part of the Hopewell Network of Churches. And I will tell you what, it's good. It's a good thing to just have people around us that wanna connect with us, that are local, that are so supportive, and just, it's going to be a blessing. So I'm excited to announce that. Also, we have some copies of Vision and Values of the Hopewell Network by the Bulletin, so you can check them out. Oh, yes, Acts in August is starting. So I did the John and July thing, and I will tell you what, I am not necessarily good at reading the Bible every day. I just get sucked into parent stuff and crazy stuff, and I'm like, oh, I got to do that. But it was so cool when Matt started John and July because it actually made me get more disciplined in it. And it was such a cool book because it was just talking about the miracles of God. And I think the more we get into the actual Word of God, which is right over here. I'm just going to hold it up because it's good for effect here. It's like the story of the guy who had a piece of wood and he was building something, and the first piece of wood was measured, and then he took the next piece of wood, measured it over the first, and did it. And then eventually, the last stick of wood was totally different measurement than the first. And I feel like that's how it is with the Bible. It's like we need to be in this, and I'm totally talking to myself, because this is the true source, and it's not skewed, and it's not through a worship song you hear, it's not through a speaker, which is all good. But this is the good thing here, to get right into it and hear right from the source the actual words of God. So we're doing Acts in August, and this is good because we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and I think that we all need the Holy Spirit right now, so it's going to be a good thing. So I encourage all of us, and this is a self-motivated thing. We're not going to be on there being like, okay, next week we're doing this, just independent, because we're all adults and we all need to learn to be adults and manage reading the Bible on our own. Talking to myself. So that's happening. So the whole month of August, and I bet you, September starts with an S. I bet you, and I didn't talk to Matt about this, but we'll see if it happens. I bet you he's going to do some of Psalms in September. Because if you can't fit all of Psalms in September, because it's a lot, but I bet you he'll do some of Psalms. So let's see if that happens, okay? Between you guys and me, I think he's going to do that for September. Okay. All right. Okay, this is cool, too. Online Bible study, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Do you guys all have your phones? I think all of you do. So if you take your phones out, you can write the Zoom ID. It is 869-3414-4657. All right, and now I'm going to pray over the offering and encourage people to place it in the basket before they leave. All right, guys, so we're going to bow our heads now. Oh, Lord, we are so thankful for you. We're just so thankful that you are the source. And you are the creator of joy, of peace. I think sometimes we get caught up in all of the stuff that we are not getting together, and we just realize that you're the source of joy. You're the source of peace, and it's totally not relevant to everything around us. It has nothing to do with who you are. You are joy. You are peace. You are the source, Lord. So right now, I just pray over anyone who is about to give over that offering, Lord, because that whole story of what you did with that lady in the fire and everyone here, that was tremendous. And it just was so impactful to her. So, Lord, we want more experiences like that, Lord, where this church can affect people and not contingent on them coming here. Just people in the community, Lord. We want to just bless them, and we want the funds in this place to go to all of that, Lord, and just create change in a lasting, eternal way, Lord. because I really believe that you are going to just start revealing yourself more to every single family in here, Lord. I really believe that, that there's a shifting happening. I've been feeling it the last few weeks, and I really feel like it's going to start happening here even more, Lord. So I just bless all of these offerings, all of these gifts that are coming to you today, no matter how small. And I just pray for everyone in this room, just a blessing over them. I just really am in the mood to just want to pour out blessing. I just feel like that right now. And last night around 1 a.m, the Lord showed me something for Blaine and his wife. That I feel like we're supposed to just pray a blessing over them. I don't know anything about what's happening in anything with their life, per se. And sometimes I think that's better because the Holy Spirit can just do it. But the Lord really showed me strongly that we're supposed to pray over Blaine and his wife now. So if some of you could just quick come over. I'm just going to lead the prayer. It's not going to be a big thing. Are you guys okay? Let them know, okay? Because we're going to keep this flowing for here. All right, Lord, you are a good Father. And we know that you have brought them together, and this is your plan. And you have a plan, you do. They might not be feeling the full plan, what's going on with things with them, but you have a plan, and it's going to come together. And we believe that for them, Lord. And I really just speak unity. I speak a deeper connection or communication between them, Lord, and just a refreshing, that they can feel a new marriage refreshing, what couples feel like when they first get married. Just pour out restoration and refreshing over them both, Lord, that they just wouldn't feel weighed down about everything that might be happening in their lives, Lord, that they have to deal with and they have to do the adulting thing. But Lord, just speak joy and refreshing over them. I speak over their dreams at night, Lord, that they would not have any anxiety, we break off any anxiety right now in Jesus' name. When we break off any shame, there is no shame at all over them. They are blessed by you, and you love them, and you are so proud of them for all that they're dealing with. Lord, you are so proud of them. So Lord, we just speak your blessing over both of them right now, that you would just show up in their dreams, and Lord, that you would start speaking to them, and that they would come in, and it would almost be like, the Lord's showing something to her, and then Lane's like, wow, the Lord showed me the same thing, and that they would just grow together in you as well. So we just speak your blessing, Lord, your peace, your provision over them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning again. I'll greet you as well.
Good morning.
I'm anxious to get going because, as he often does, I find it both exciting and reassuring when God confirms certain things through the worship and through what's been shared. So I want you to pay close attention as I share today. To the things that not I'm highlighting, but the things that God has already begun to highlight. We've been talking a lot over the past few weeks about abiding in Christ. And when Matt kind of began this, we saw that in the first week, we saw that there were three P's of the benefits of abiding in Christ. And two were protection and provision. And we saw that in Psalm 91. The protection and the provision that is granted for those who abide in Christ. But we need to remember that protection and that provision that the psalmist speaks of, he says it's for those who abide, for those who dwell. So we can't expect that we're going to receive all the benefits of God. We can't expect that we're going to walk in the power and the provision. We can't expect that we'll do that if we just visit with him for a few minutes each day. We need to walk and abide in that power. Then the power we saw in that same first week, Matt talked about Acts 1:8, where it says that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. So it's when the Holy Spirit abides in us and with us, we receive power. But it's not just power for our own lives. The power is to be witnesses for him. To be witnesses for Christ, to be witnesses everywhere we go, locally, regionally, and beyond. And last time I shared, we also looked at the fruitfulness that comes from abiding in Christ. In John 15, Jesus says that in him we bear much fruit, and apart from him we can do nothing. He says that it's through the bearing of fruit that comes with from abiding in him that we prove that we're his disciples. That week I encouraged us to remember that while we need to go into our prayer closets, we need to have our time of meditations and our time of worship and our time alone with God, we need to also remember that when we leave that prayer closet, we don't leave God behind in it. That he goes with us. He's with us everywhere we are, all the time. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." And if we abide with him, if we dwell with him, if we walk with him, that praying without ceasing becomes a normal and a natural and an easy thing to do, because all it really is we're talking with the one who's always with us. We're just having a conversation with God who's always there with us. And if that's not something that we can rejoice and be thankful for, then I don't know what is. And then last week, Matt shared again and stressed the fact that abiding in Christ means that we abide in his presence. And we saw that in Exodus 33, Moses valued the presence of God over the promise of God. God had said that they could go into the promised land and he would deliver the land and take the enemies, but that he couldn't go with them because the people were a wicked and stiff-necked people. And Moses said, if you don't go, we're staying here. The presence of God was more important than the promise of God. And he talked about Psalm 27:4, where David says, "One thing I've asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and meditate in his temple." And just like that, we should value and prioritize the presence of God. You know, it's said that you become more like that which you behold and that which you meditate on. You know, so we have a choice to make. Are we going to meditate on the Lord? Are we going to meditate on his beauty and his goodness? Or are we going to meditate on the things of the world? We become like that which we behold. Matt encouraged us that week, last week, to read and to reflect on what our core values are. Because the core values, the things that are that important to us, it makes us and causes us to make a decision without even having to make a decision. It becomes natural. If something is a core value, then when we're confronted with it, we just respond to that core value. We don't have to decide if we're going to do what's right. And he talked about that we need to be hungry and passionate for the Word and for God's presence. He said something which made a lot of sense to me. He said, you know, in the natural realm, If you want to kind of stir up your hunger, you go without eating for a while so that you're extra hungry. But in the spiritual realm, if you want to get hungry, you eat. Because the more you eat, the hungrier you'll get for God, for his word, and for his presence. So I encourage any of us that have missed any of those things, or if you just want to review and catch up, they're on the podcasts. You can find them at dwellatthewell.com. Today I want to look at another benefit of abiding in Christ, and I'm going to start with a little bit more review. Last time I shared, we looked at John 16:33, where Jesus says, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." Now, he said that about these things that I've spoken to you. He said that because in the previous verse he said, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they don't know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin, but now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. This happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without cause. These things I've spoken, that you should not be made to stumble. They'll put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God a service. And these things we will do to you because they have not known the Father or me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you remember that I told them. So Jesus acknowledges that we're going to have tribulation, that there's going to be tough times, that some of the world might hate us. But he promises peace, because abiding in him, we've also overcome with him. You know, most of us in our lives, I believe, even as Christians, have experienced some hard times, some difficult times. We have good times and we have difficult times. And it's easy to pray and praise God and say thank you when we're experiencing those good times. James 1, 2 through 4 says, consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, it might be hard to consider it joy when we go through those trials. And what we have to remember is that the world will question how we can have peace and joy when we're in the midst of the storm and the tribulation. The truth is that having that peace, having that joy in the Lord in the midst of difficult times is probably one of the greatest testimonies that we can have for Christ. That's what the world needs to see from us now and in the times that are to come. And I couldn't help thinking, as we were singing the song, Peace Like a River, I couldn't help thinking what Kat shared about in the vision, that there's a river in this place. And it might not be about the numbers, but that river is the peace of God that we get from coming and abiding in his presence. And that river will flow out into the community. And the people will see that there's a peace that comes from God and comes from no other source. That's what the world needs to see from us. Because we do live in a tumultuous time. Now here's how I see it. If we understand that there's these peaks and these valleys, high times and low times in our lives. You know, if you draw it like a graph, and these are the high times, and these are the low times, and it's up and down, we'll probably acknowledge that in truth, even the low times, we feel close to God. Because it's in those times that we've come to the end of ourselves. We have no choice left but to be close to him. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for you. Power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. But we need to recognize that even more than just that. As Scripture says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father in heaven. So even anything that's good in us, any gift that we have, whether it be a spiritual gift or a natural gift, comes from God. And it's only perfected in him. There's a familiar poem, kind of going back to the feeling close to God in the low times. There's a familiar poem called Footprints in the Sand, and it says, one night I dreamed a dream, and I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to the Lord. And when I When the last scene of my life shot before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand, and there was only one set of footprints. I realized that this was the lowest and saddest times of my life. This always bothered me, and I questioned the Lord about my dilemma. Lord, you told me that when I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I'm aware that during the most troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I just don't understand why, when I need you most, you leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you, never, ever during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. And when we go through those hard times, we're close to God because he's carrying us. We may not feel it at the time, we may not know it, but we're as close to him as we can be. You know, in truth, for me, it's neither the high times or the low times that are the hardest to know God. But, you know, when you look at it, there's a high time and a low time. There's more time that's in between than there's high or low. It's the everyday and the normal times for me. Because it's in those times, the normal, average, mundane times, that I feel I can do it on my own. I wrongly believe that I can do it in my own strength. When things are normal, we tend to try and operate in the natural. Because God's a supernatural God, we also forget sometimes that he's the God of the natural. Because he's an extraordinary God, we forget that he's also a God of the ordinary. Luke 12, 6 and 7 says, are five sparrows not sold for two asaria? And yet not one of them has gone unnoticed in the sight of God, but even the hairs of your head are all counted. Do not fear, for you are more valuable than a great number of sparrows. Now, you know, if it was only the hairs of my head that were numbered, it wouldn't be all that impressive. But I grew a beard, so there's a little more. But it's everyone that God knows and cares about that much. He cares about the little things. He knows us completely and intimately. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He knows everything about us, and he cares about everything. In Matthew 7, 13 to 14, Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it, for the gate is narrow and the way is constricted that leads to life. And there are few that find it. You know, when we try to determine our path and our way by ourselves, it's easy to wander off that narrow way. Rick Joyner often says that there's a ditch on either side of the road. And often when we're doing it on our own, we rather than remaining on the narrow way, we tend to spend more time in the ditches. Because what happens in the natural and the normal is when we recognize something that we've been wrong in, we tend to oversteer, we overcorrect, and we get off to the other side. As an example, if we were focused on legalism or works, and we're trying to earn our way and we're trying to do what's right, and we realize then that's not it. It's not our works, but it's grace. But then sometimes we'll tend to steer all the way over to the other side of grace without repentance. Ephesians 2, 8 and 10 says, by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So the narrow way of Jesus, the narrow way of Christ, is that we're saved as a result of the free gift of grace. But if we believe, if we have faith, then also in response to that saving grace, we're going to walk in the good works. We're going to walk in the good works that he prepared for us and prepared us for. You know, so often in the natural and the normal, we tend to look at things as either or. It has to be either this or that. But most often in Christ, it's and also. it's this and that. You know, if we think again about works versus grace, you know, we tend to think God's infinite, and we tend to think of things in a finite matter. So we look at grace over here, and we look at works over here, and we see how far separated they are. But God is infinite. It's not that the lines continue to go on forever, but think of it as a circle. That's an infinite line as well. So it's just a continuing line of grace and works in faith. We looked at Romans 10:17 quite a bit, and it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's important for us to grow in faith through the word. We need to spend time in the word. Psalm 37:4-5 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him also, and he will do it. We need to cultivate our faithfulness. We need to work at it. Because faithfulness isn't natural. It's supernatural. James 2:14-20 says, what use is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, yet do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? In the same way also, faith also, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder, but are you willing to acknowledge, you foolish person, that faith without works is useless? You see, we can have faith, we can believe in God just by reading his word, by being in his presence. But Jesus said that apart from him, we can do nothing. If we want to have a living faith that's demonstrated through our works, we need to abide in him, to dwell with him. It's good to have faith, but we need to walk out our faith doing what God says. James 1:21-22 says, ridding yourselves of all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, not just hearers who deceive themselves. It's not enough to know the word. It starts with that. It's important. It's foundational, fundamental. But we have to abide by what it says. As we move toward our close here, Isaiah 43:5 says, a voice of one calling out, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. Let the uneven ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. If we abide in Christ, our lives will be leveled out. We'll be okay with the highs and the lows and all that time in between. Even more, though, as we abide in him every day, Philippians 4:11-13 says, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with little. I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The question for us is, will we do all things through Christ? Or will we only count on him for the things that we can't handle ourselves? Will we do all things, even the ordinary things, in Christ? When we abide in him, when we dwell with him and walk with him, the days are all the same. Whether it's our best day or our worst day, or whether it's just another day, were content in him. The psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I will not be in need." And I say, of anything. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. I have peace. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for the sake of his name. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, if we're with him, even death is merely just a shadow. It has no lasting power or hold on us because we have eternal life in him. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Proverbs 25:21 instructs us on what we're supposed to do with the table that the Lord prepares in the presence of our enemies. It says, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. And if he's thirsty, give him drink. And then the psalmist says, certainly goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life, and my dwelling will be in the house of the Lord forever. You know, we tend to look at Paul, who we've seen a lot of the scriptures, and we tend to look at David, and we think that, boy, they really had this abiding down. But we have to remember that the scripture is full of times when David went out on his own, when he moved in his own ideas and his own power, and boy, did he mess things up. And Paul, before he had the encounter with Jesus, when Jesus encountered him on the road, Jesus said to him, "Saul, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the goads." It's tough when we're not walking with him, when we're walking opposed to what he wants. In Matthew 11, 28 and 29, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, precious Holy Spirit, thank you for your powerful presence that's been here with us today. May we abide in you as you abide in us. May we dwell with you as we leave this place. May the power of your presence and your peace flow like a river from us. May we give you both the good times and the hard times and the ordinary times. Thank you that you are an extraordinary God who is a God of the ordinary, a supernatural God that's the God of the natural. Help us to walk in the promise, the provision, the power of your presence today and every day. In Jesus' name. Now the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm digging a well in the valley of my weeds.